back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and we are keeping calm. We are staying completely local around here and always Baltimore positive. Don Moeller, former Baltimore County executive, and of course our partner in crime on all things Baltimore positive, joins us now. And you know, Don, we've done so much with the arts, and we've done so much. We're about to do a whole bunch with the medical community and what's going on in crisis and crisis management. I know you've got a lot of friends that have led a lot of organizations. This guy's a guy that I've crossed paths with many times in Baltimore over the last quarter of a century of my radio career, but I don't think I've ever had him on. And, Don, I'm going to let you do all the honors about all the crab cakes you've been eating from Fadley's and all of the carryout and curbside you're getting at the state fair that I'm not getting. How about that?
That'll take all Bill's time, but let me start with that. Say again, support all of our friends out there in small businesses. If you're in the region, stop up State Fair in Catonsville, breakfast, lunch, dinner. Evan and Keith doing a terrific job. Actually was with them just this morning as they're continuing to work on a new restaurant, a new Mexican restaurant that's going to open up across the street in Catonsville. So they're working hard. Give them a call. Their whole menu is available. Our friends at Fadley's, Danny Hahn, Bill and Nancy Devine. I know that Bill knows the Hahn family and the Devine family and the great Fadley's crab cake. They'll deliver them right to your door during the pandemic. Had them the other day. Actually ordered a couple of extras. So I'll be
I did
them
not.
Again.
I want to make that clear. I did not have them the other day. It's my own fault. But
well, I will be having them again this week because I was smart enough to order some extras, and they freeze beautifully. So you pop them out, and you've got them again. And our latest sponsor, Jeff Moeller and Moeller and Gary Wielders. Give Jeff a call, 410-746-1547. They're continuing to sell real estate, listing and selling during this, virtual tours, you name it. So give Jeff a call. And Nestor, I'd be remiss if I didn't thank, we have brought her out of retirement, but Fronda Cohen has been doing great work for Baltimore Positive, executive producing all of our segments on the art. So we thank Fronda. Well, someone we've wanted to have on for a long time, somebody I've known off and on for a long time, we welcome Bill McCarthy, Executive Director of Catholic Charities. Bill, welcome to Baltimore Positive.
Thank you, Don. We're glad to be part of it with you and Nestor, for sure. And I love
Bill,
all the cases.
Before we get into the serious stuff, Bill, before we get into all the serious stuff, Bill, how does a kid from St. William of York, who could go right down the street and become a Gael at Mount St. Joe, end up being a Loyola Don? How does that happen?
Oh, man. Well, it depends who you ask. Rick Burnt would tell you it was because I didn't get into Mount St. Joe.
There you go.
But actually, I followed the path of your cousin Hugh Moeller and went to Loyola.
Well, yeah, you're not going to hold up you as the example of what to do, are you? That's
I knew I was going to start with all this. That's why I'm getting out of the way.
Mistake.
Well, welcome again. And again, before we get into the serious business, I understand that your basketball career was actually shaped at St. William of York by playing for such legendary coaches as Hugh Moeller and Mike Moeller and Doug Derringer. That's when you really became a baller. Is that correct?
That's exactly right. You know, some trauma in those names, of course. But, yeah, St. William of York, basketball, Hugh Moeller, fifth grade, and then Mike and Doug after that. It was absolutely fantastic.
And legend has it
that, with them all, too.
Legend has it that you might have made it to the NBA had it not been for each one of them. Is that true?
Yeah, well, what I tell Hugh particularly, I would have had a game and I would have been 6'6" if it wasn't for him.
Well, let's on the serious side, and whoever would have thought that you'd be hunkered down there in the office all by yourself at Catholic Charities up on Cathedral Street. Nestor's down there in the harbor. I'm here in Catonsville. We're in the midst of a pandemic. Catholic Charities does just amazing work, Bill. And before we get into what you guys are doing to help in a pandemic, give folks in their cars who might not know what they do, tell them the major role that Catholic Charities plays in terms of really dealing with those most vulnerable in our society.
Yeah, Catholic Charities is actually the largest human service agency in the state of Maryland. I'm not at the Cathedral Street location. I'm actually upstairs at our Daily Bread right now talking.
Okay.
So Catholic Charities, we have 80 programs, 200 locations throughout the state of Maryland. We really serve our neighbors in need, those who are hungry, those who are living in poverty. We also provide services to older Marylanders, children and families in crisis, individuals with intellectual disabilities, and our new neighbors in the immigrant community. We're the go-to agency in terms of and provider support to all of our neighbors that have different needs at different times.
Bill, we talk so much about what happens in these times of crisis, and you know, you've led organizations for as long as I've known you. We all have that Mike Tyson thing. You're a sports fan, right? We all have a plan till we get punched, right? And obviously, right. The whole planet has fallen prey to this coronavirus, and you know, your organization is set up as a crisis management organization 365 days a year, right? Like, you're always dealing with people who are in need, who don't have means or don't have the circumstance to help themselves. I mean, and so many organizations are set up and do this before we get to wherever the unemployment situation is at this point and whatever we're about to undergo. My father was born in 1919, talked about soup lines and whatnot. But your organization is always on the front lines doing these kinds of deeds and this kinds of work. But there are so many people right now finding themselves maybe for the first time in their life saying, I need to reach to my church for help. Maybe I was the person that put a little more on the plate at some point in my life, but this is the time in my life where I find myself in need, and there's whatever's involved psychologically, from shame to being the leader of a family, whatever, wherever it is. How does your organization reach to someone that's never found themselves in need that may at some point very soon be hearing this conversation and find themselves in need?
Yeah, that's a great point, Nestor, in the way you described it. You know, in these unprecedented times, you know, people that were donors or volunteers, you know, living that kind of life of normalcy, find everything upended. You know, jobs have, the economy has stopped. There's people aren't working, and people are in need of help and resources. And they can reach us, you know, just by just going to our website at cc-md.org, and we'll be able to help. And I was thinking here on our Daily Bread today, people that were coming in for food or people that are coming in for pantry supplies, many faces we see all the time, but many, many new faces that people haven't experienced it. So it's either.
And you don't hear that on the news. Downtown. You don't see that on Facebook. You don't, right? The folks that are making this turn right now in need, it's very hard to reach out and say, I need help. Maybe it's part of the human condition. It's one of the hardest things to do in many respects, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think it comes down to the philosophy and the belief, and my belief, and Catholic Charity's belief, we're all in this together. I have a need today. You might have a need tomorrow, but we're all going to get through this together. Depending on your situation today, you may need a little lift up, or tomorrow you might need it. But we're all here to help.
Bill, I'm struck by, and folks may not know, the rich history of Catholic Charities in some way, dating back all the way to the 1790s, when I was doing some research as you were getting ready to come on, thinking I knew a little bit about Catholic Charities, didn't realize that all the way back in the 1790s, the bishop mandated that one-third of the revenue from all the Catholic parishes had to go to help the poor. I mean, that's pretty remarkable.
Yeah, it really is. So, you know, Baltimore being the first diocese of the Catholic Church in the United States, Bishop John Carroll at the time in 1792 directed that all parishes use one-third of their receipts for, you know, to help the poor or help people in need. So it started with that request and that direction. And since then, the needs of people have changed, and the services that Catholic Charities have of offerative change. You know, back in the mid-1800s, the early to mid-1800s, there were 22 orphanages in Baltimore. You know, and orphanages were, broken down by country of origin and gender. And then those orphanages, over time, the needs of children changed. And that that St. Vincent's, which was an orphanage at one time, now is a residential program to help children that have suffered trauma and have needs that are unimaginable to us. And Villa Maria is another example of that as well. So as the needs of people have changed, Catholic Charities has changed. And
go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't want to cut you off.
No, go ahead. I'm listening.
I was going to say, one of the things that seems to have come to the forefront as a result of this pandemic is this whole issue of health disparities and the lack of health care resources for the vulnerable in society. I'm curious, as the executive director of Catholic Charities and all of the endeavors you're involved in, do you all see this issue of health care and health disparities being front and center? And if so, what are your thoughts and how does Catholic Charities get involved in those issues?
Yeah, that's a great question. We see disparities in health care, access to economic opportunity, access to education, all these fundamental institutions and resources that are a matter of a human right, and we face those disparities with people every day. I'll give you a couple of examples what we did. And I think about early childhood education as an example. So Catholic Charities is one of the largest providers of Head Start in Baltimore City and Harford County and Carroll County. What we saw is the children and families in Head Start were the same families that we were engaging and encountering in the child welfare system later on. So after Freddie Gray, we doubled down on our Head Start presence in West Baltimore. And so we went from 9 sites serving 265 children to 15 sites serving 700 children. And this is from Harlan Park to Cherry Hill to, to Sandtown to over at St. Edward's. We have a Head Start location in Mosher. So what we thought was, if we got involved with children and families earlier, we could help alleviate and eliminate some of those disparities. The other things we've done is we have a volunteer and medicine health clinic in Fells Point that primarily serves the immigrant community. It's the only volunteer and medicine health clinic in the state of Maryland. And what allows us to do is to get volunteer clinicians together to provide primary care services to people who would not otherwise have access to health care. We have 12 behavioral health clinics throughout the greater Baltimore area going west as well. So we try to provide access by being present where others aren't and by trying to provide creative solutions such as a volunteer medicine clinic and other things to ensure people can get primary care. So, the disparity for healthcare or for education are both economically driven and also from what you've seen by some of the numbers, racially driven as well. And we're trying to address those as best we can by being proactive, getting out in front of it, and not just being reactive and responsive at a time of crisis.
Bill, what gives you... These challenges appear at times to be so overwhelming. As Nestor said, it's the reason that Baltimore Positive was created. What gives you hope about the future, not only of the state, but particularly to zero in on Baltimore? What keeps you positive about Baltimore? What gets you up in the morning and says, today's going to be a good day?
I love it. That's a great point. A part of the problem is the narrative around our city that I love so much and have spent my whole life in, is people focus on the negative. People focus on when things don't go well. I take the view, I know every day that I get up, people who are hungry are being fed. People without housing are being sheltered and housed. People without jobs are being placed in employment. Children that didn't have access to health care or education are being educated and provided health care. So I know this is happening thousands of times every day, and I'm part of that. And there are all these good stories, all these great encounters, all these things that are happening every day. Right below where I am today at our Daily Bread, 1,000 people were fed at lunch. Across the street, we operate the city's largest shelter. So we have 275 individuals over there. I can tell you last week, 7 of those people that were in the shelter were placed in permanent housing.
Bill, can you tell us about that? Because, I mean, I don't want to interview. By the way, Bill McCarthy, Executive Director, Catholic Charities, when you say that happens, what is the exit strategy for someone we see? And I always use this story. And, Don, I will say that I can honestly say this is the first month that this gentleman has not lived at the corner of my street. There's been the same homeless man for 17 years on the corner of Conway and Charles. He has been panhandling there since I moved downtown in 2003. I have not seen him in a month. But I wonder what is the state of Maryland, what is the United States of America, what is Catholic Charities, what is anyone's role in making that not happen anymore, that this man has lived on the corner of my street for 17 years?
Yeah, that's a great question, and I'll share an example. One is we can't ignore or make the person invisible. Second thing is, like in your example, and then I'm going to share a story of a woman, is we engage them. We find out, you know, what their needs are, why they're there, what the story is. And then we don't give up. We continually to work with
them. Who is the we, by the way, that does that? Because I've talked to Police Commissioner Harrison about that. I've talked to all these mayor. Who is that person? Who does that person work for? Whom do they represent to create any trust with a random homeless person who's been there a day, a week, a month, or 17 years in this case?
Yeah, so it's community outreach workers. In our case, it's our case managers that get to know the people, build relationships over time, and ultimately invite people in and get them to access services and to get on a path towards independence and self-sufficiency. A story I'd like to share with you is I've been executive director of Catholic Charities for 11 years. My first day of work, on the corner of Mulberry and Cathedral, there's a bus stop right in front of the library. And 3 women slept at that bus stop every night. Within the first year, my sister's place, which is next to the Basilica, our case manager's there working. The ladies would come in for meals and for the day shelter, do laundry, shower, etc. The first year, we were able to move two of the women into my sister's place lodge and then ultimately permanent housing. This one woman, Miss Janet, who I absolutely love, suffers from severe schizophrenia. She's more lucid when she's on her medication. She's not as lucid when she's not. So every day I'd watch. I'd look out my window. I would talk to her every time I walked by, and I'd watch this case manager go and engage her, both at the bus stop and in the shelter and at my sister's place. Well, I'm happy to report it took 10 years. But last year, Miss Janet went in and has lived at my sister's place lodge ever since. So she's been there a year and a half, living in a safe environment.
18 months ago, she was in the bus in front of the Enoch Pratt.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it's stories like that. So you can't give up. You got to meet people where they are. You got to journey with them. We're a free country, so people have rights, but you just got to show them a better way. And some of it is just engagement, compassion, and offering them something better than they have now. And that's the possibilities. And that's the opportunity. And every day, it took Miss Janet a lot longer than most. Every day, people are accepting that invitation.
Bill McCarthy is our guest, Executive Director, Catholic Charities of Maryland. Don Mohler, of course, here. We're doing Baltimore Positive, another episode. We've waited a long time to get Bill on, Don. Your closest friends you don't invite on enough, Don. That's what it is. It's because he went to Loyola, isn't it?
No, well, you listen, you know, we were going to have him on. Then when I saw he was a Loyola Don, we had to put him on.
He goes into season two.
That's true. I love Loyola. Actually, when Bill was out there, my high school history teacher and really dear friend who's no longer with us, Jerry Savage, was doing legendary things out there at Loyola.
Jerry. Yeah,
Jerry's one of the all-time special people. Bill, I can imagine that folks are listening now. They're driving in their car. They're listening at home on their computers. And they're touched by Miss Janet's story. And they're touched by the feeding 1,000 people at our daily bread. And they're saying, you know what? It's time for me to get involved. I need to either volunteer. I need to donate. How do folks get involved with the great work that you're doing? It's Catholic Charities.
Yeah, so we're very blessed. We have about 17,000 unduplicated volunteers every year. And the great thing is, we do so much, so whatever you're interested in or who, you know, wherever you want to do it, we probably have that opportunity for you. And go into our website, cc-md.org. It's all laid out there. Either that or I always give my number. People can call me at 667-600-2001, and I'll connect you with the right program.
Give that again, Bill, in case they were writing it down real quick.
My phone number is 667-600-2001.
Well, I'll tell you, for anybody that needs to get in touch with Bill, you're pretty easy to find, and certainly the website's out there. The first thing it says in the front of the website here, Don, is you can help, right? And the challenges of what we're going through here, what has this done to your organization? Because it is certainly a stress test for everyone in our society, from Pennsylvania Avenue straight on down, right, Bill?
Yeah. So what I'll say, and like kind of talk about the mobilization, I think you started the show, Nestor, by talking about, you know, we all have a plan until you get punched in the nose and then you figure out if your emergency response plan actually works. So what's really taking place now is it requires you to really focus. So the way I think about it is I know outside of essential things that we do and have to do every day is we're feeding people. We have pantry services. So between meals and pantry, sheltering and housing people, and then what I called care. So at Catholic Charities, I have probably every night under a roof somewhere, I have 3,000 people. So it's either people in our shelters, people in our community housing program, older Marylanders in our supportive senior housing, or our nursing home and assisted living. So needing to keep those program people safe, healthy, and staffed well with our committed team is absolutely essential. On top of that, I know every day that I'm feeding I was thinking last week alone, we fed 25,000 people. And that is a big jump for us for normally. So it's at our Daily Bread, that's a meals program, 5 pantries in West Baltimore, 1 in Cumberland. We started a new meals program through our Safe Streets program in Sandtown, Winchester. That's feeding another 1,500 people a week, and in Brooklyn. So between our meals programs, our pantry programs, housing, is really just a huge thing for us. And we got to keep people safe and fortunately, using precautions and keeping our colleagues safe as well.
Hey, Don, you want to know how Baltimore is Smaltimore? Bill McCarthy and I have 341 mutual connections. It's the first time I've had him on, but more on LinkedIn. But more than that, I know you from the banking world, right? And leaving that and being a part of this Give me where you are in your own personal journey that has been made famous in various ways, and you know people all over town, and we're connected to all these people.
Yeah.
What led you there from an entirely different life at this point in your life?
Yeah, so it's a great point, Esther, and you'll probably remember this when I bring it up. So I've always viewed, I'm a West Baltimore guy. I grew up in Ten Hills and went to St. Williams, as Don talked about at the beginning, and I loved our community. I was a lawyer in private practice at first before I went into banking. Did work for banks and represented banks. And then I was always looking, and regardless of whether I was a lawyer, practicing lawyer, or in banking, I was always looking for a way to live with greater purpose and to live in a way that I knew what I did was making life better for people and making our community stronger. And this is what you'll probably remember. So Maria and I have a son, Ryan, who's Don's supposed to be graduating or will be graduating from the University of Maryland Law School this year without a graduation.
And without a ceremony, right.
And hopefully they'll let him sit for the bar at some point, because I think the bar exam might be suspended as well with this. But we had a daughter, Erin. And when our daughter, Erin, was 11 years old and in the sixth grade at Maryvale, she was diagnosed with osteosarcoma, a rare form of bone cancer. And I watched Erin live with courage, grace, and purpose for 3.5 years as she fought this disease. And then she passed away at the age of 14. And I looked at her life, I looked at my life at that time, and I said, I need to do more to live with greater purpose, as Erin did. And so what happened, 11 years ago, Erin would have been gone 2 years then, the opportunity to come to Catholic Charities arose. And I couldn't think of a better way from a guy from Baltimore to lead an organization that impacts the lives of so many of our neighbors here in Baltimore and greater Baltimore in such a profound and positive way. How could I not do that? So I think my move to Catholic Charities has been purely selfish, because it's given me greater purpose in life. It's been personally enriching to me. And as I said earlier, I know every day lives are improved, our community is better, and I'm part of this.
Staying safe, staying 6 feet away from everybody, difficult to do in the line of work you're in, right?
Right, very difficult.
Nestor, when we began this journey over a year ago, you were really clear. You said to me one day, you said, Don, I just want to spend my time with better people.
That's true.
I'm sitting here now, and I really have nothing to add to the story that Bill McCarthy just told. I would just encourage people, get involved, jump on their website, give Bill a call. If we all strive to live our lives for better purpose, as Bill McCarthy just laid out, Baltimore City, our state, and our nation will be a better place. So, Bill, I cannot thank you enough for taking the time to sit with Nestor and me. I can't thank you enough for helping to change the social fabric of Baltimore City.
Thank you, guys. Really appreciate it.
Bill, appreciate it. Bill McCarthy, Executive Director at Catholic Charities. You can find them at catholiccharities-md.org. You can call Bill on his cell phone. 80 programs, 200 locations. You can donate. You can volunteer. They got a complete advocacy program. You can get help, find help, and find it all there. Cherishing the Divine Within All, Catholic Charities at catholiccharities-md.org. Baltimore Positive. Keeping calm, staying locals, telling great stories of good people, and all this stuff that's going on around us with crisis management and the COVID-19. We have focused on arts. We have focused on medicine. We're going to be doing that next week, and health services here, as well as leadership and education. Baltimore Positive, percolating, taking over the space that formerly was WNSD, where it says Baltimore Sports right there. Yeah, we're doing it all right now. AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are WNST.net and Baltimore positive.